probably heard the expression, desperate times call for desperate measures. And while it might feel like we are in somewhat desperate times, and perhaps we are, I'd like to recast that with a little more positive spin. I think challenging times call for creative measures. After all, another well-worn cliche is that necessity is the mother of invention. So, if we're looking at the challenges we're facing right now in education, we know we're going to have to bring a measure of creativity to the table. And we know that students want to express their creativity, that if they get voice and choice in what they learn and how they learn it, they're probably more likely to retain that information, to be able to use it critically, to synthesize new ideas. Of course, and perhaps you knew this was coming, at the TCEA convention and exposition, we're always looking to share new ideas. And this week, in the EdTech Club, our guest speaker is one of our thought leaders, a highlight presenter of this year's convention and exposition, available online. You can still go register, by the way. Live events start on February 1st. And that thought leader is Claudio Zavala Jr. He is a creative media consultant and the digital designer at Burleson ISD here in Texas. And he is a creative guy. He's a photographer, a videographer. He's got a YouTube channel. He's a professional musician and a master woodworker and graphic designer. So if you're thinking about creativity, you might want to be attending Claudio's sessions. By the way, he's got them on February 3rd, covering things like Adobe Spark and Adobe Rush. But for all you go-getters in the EdTech Club, we're giving you a special preview of the convention. We're giving you a one-on-one conversation all about creativity and giving you a little peek at what one of our thought leaders will be talking about at this year's convention. So kick back, relax, put on your creativity thinking cap, and get ready to be inspired. That's what we're talking about in this meeting of the EdTech Club. And it all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. As I said, this week's guest speaker is Claudio Zavala Jr., one of our thought leaders at this year's convention, presented in partnership with IdeaCon. So, for you, here's our preview, our conversation with Claudio Zavala Jr.
Hey everyone, my name is Claudio Zavala Jr., and currently I'm working in district in Texas, Burleson, Texas, for a school district here. My role is digital designer, so I'm actually over the virtual learning piece in our district, which when everything went online over the summer, actually came on board the district with a new platform, and so I was kind of leading that helping grow teachers online presence with support with the platform. And I also enjoy doing a lot of side hustle, which a lot of EdTech folks love to do. And so I love presenting at conferences, which has been virtual pretty much all this past year, and connecting with others and sharing ideas and with educators, students. And I also enjoy sharing on social media, and so I get to connect with people that are not educators, that, you know, entrepreneurs and people starting out businesses, and just in everything, it's all about storytelling and helping people share their story. So giving them tools and tips and different ways, and, you know, hey, this is a good little tool to use, this is a good little device to use, and anything that would help someone share their story. So I'm passionate about helping others do that.
I'm thinking, okay, you're a digital designer. What does that role mean? It sounds very cool. And how does one get that job? How did you land where you are?
Well, so it's I'll start on how the job came about. And actually, it was a position that was created, and based on actually a lot of the work that I do on my YouTube channel, which is that's kind of one of those side hustle passions that I have, is sharing everything that I do on YouTube is, as I mentioned earlier, to share with others how to share stories. And they love the way I present myself and really engage audience with that medium of video and, you know, whether it's a how to do it, a how-to tip or walking them through step-by-step on something and want to take that. And so we want to build our, help our teachers, you know, be that engaging on online and teaching. And so that's how I got the role. And, you know, it's obviously been a challenge with the way, you know, it has gone as far as, you know, we have half, I would say half, we have some teachers that are teaching in person, others that are teaching virtually, but everyone's using the platform. And, you know, it's time is the challenge, you know, getting in front of a group of teachers. So we, you know, slowly been working on that and helping them, on how to present. I get to do a lot of testing with my wife. She works in the same district. So I get to do a lot of, I would say, prototyping with her. It's like, hey, wait. Sometimes it's like, just, I don't want to do it. It's like, right. You know, I'm gonna do it my way. It's like, okay, just, or it's like, I don't have time. And you know, it's stressful. I can't imagine. You know, I'm not teaching in a classroom any longer. I've taught for 13 years, and the last 12 I've been actually kind of in the ed tech world and helping teachers use tech in the classroom. And so I understand, you know, it people are tired. And so, you know, we're doing the best we can with the time. And, you know, so as far as like, how can someone get this role? You know, I would say it's kind of a blend. I've seen other jobs out there where it's distance learning directors, distance learning designers, virtual learning person, virtual learning coordinator. It's kind of in that same vein. And so, I just feel fortunate where I'm at right now. And, you know, I work in the town that I live in. So my drive is so nice. I enjoy that piece. So, you know, I guess it took me, I would say 12 years to get where I'm at. And I'm not going to say, it's not to say it's going to take that long for others, but everyone's journey is different. But that's how, you know, all those years, I think as long as you are willing to share with others and, you know, finding what you're passionate about and sharing with others and helping empower them, I think that's the key, you know, that's the key. And, you know, and I think those opportunities will come. And I obviously definitely believe in getting your own voice out there, your own brand, and share, you know, with the audience, with social media, wherever, in your own building. You know, if you can't start in your own building, that's kind of where I started in my own years ago when I was still in the classroom. And I was kind of doing like the technology person, helping teachers, my own teammates, and like giving them ways. You know, this was before we had all this tech now, and this was in everybody was, you know, the internet speeds were extremely slow, and you know, I think Netscape was still around back then. I don't know if you're familiar with Netscape, but that's one of the older browsers.
I remember it. I do remember it. It was
And so I think, If you can start at your own building, I think that's the first point, you know, help your campus and then grow from there. And, you know, those opportunities will come, I guess. And then put your name out there. I think that's another way to do that.
And if I'm an educator, and you come to me and you're wanting to help me tell my story, develop my voice as an educator, if I'm reticent to do that, if I think I might not be ready or able to do that, or I might not understand what even that means, what do you tell me? What does it mean to me to share my story or develop my voice as an educator?
Well, it's obviously there's some trepidation always with, you know, putting yourself in front of others. That was for me, I in front of students, you know, you just find it easier because you may be older in most cases than your students. I know in my case, I taught fifth graders, obviously a lot older than them, but you know, if you can get in front of students, you can get in front of adults as well. It's just, it's a different audience. Obviously the jokes will be different, you know, but you know, I would say the most important piece, you know, if you're wanting to get out there, put your brand out there, if you don't do it, this is kind of what I say, if you don't do that piece, if you don't go out there, share your voice, you know, someone else is going to do it. You know, so if you don't share it, someone else will.
And let me ask you this then. So if I want to share what I'm passionate about as an educator, let's say, what's the motivation behind that? I mean, is this an exercise in brand building and career building for an educator? Is this an exercise in sharing good ideas with my peers? Is it an exercise in reaching more learners or students? What might be the motivations that makes an educator start their own YouTube channel or start a podcast or write a blog or contribute to a blog to get my ideas out there?
I think it's a little, it's a combination of all those things that you mentioned. You know, it's, I'm fortunate when I started kind of to jump on the opportunity to present at like at a conference that the first time I did it, you know, it was nerve wracking, but the potential, I think I hope I use the right term, but synergy, you know, if you can reach one person, then that teacher is going to impact, you know, their students, which can be their own in their classroom or their upper grades where they're, you know, reaching 200. So you have an opportunity to make an impact on not just that educator, but other students as well as your own. So, I mean, that could be a motivating factor. You know, and it's definitely also a piece of building your name, your brand, sharing your ideas too. As I mentioned earlier, you know, if you don't share your story, someone else will, you know. There are tons of podcasts out there. And in my case, when I started the YouTube, I said, well, there's a lot of people doing what I do. You know, there's, what can I add to, you know, the mix that's out there? And first of all, there's, you know, and I'm not saying this like I'd like to brag or anything, but there's only one Claudio Zavala Jr. There's only one me. So
right.
There's only one person who can share the story like me, and that's me. So I, you know, said, okay, well, I'm going to do this YouTube thing and start it off. And I didn't take it very serious at first. I want to say I started about 2017. And then it was, there's several things that were kind of an impetus to, you know, I need to really build that. And I don't, you know, part of it was, man, what if I mess up, what are people going to say, or am I going to be able to do it? And I finally said, you know what? Who cares? I enjoy sharing it, whether I have one subscriber or hopefully someday have 100,000 subscribers, and I'll still be able to be as genuine as I am when I started off. And that's just to share things that I'm passionate about. You know, some of the stuff that I'm passionate about is like photography, video, storytelling in that aspect, and tech tools. And, you know, you may be passionate about baking, passionate about, you know, woodworking, writing books, or whatever it is that you're passionate about, and just that finding that niche and just go out there and do it. And, you know, it's that first step that's always the challenge. But once you get beyond that, you know, you realize there are a lot of people out there that are very supportive. And I'm glad I got a lot of family members, but and also friends in the education world that they also said, you know, that gave me that push. You know, Claudio, you need to be doing something with that stuff you're doing. That's great stuff. You got to go out there and share it. And so, if you're listening to this and someone has ever shared that with you and you're kind of not sure, jump in. You know, go all in.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think a lot of people who consider any kind of creative endeavor often get the advice that if it's something you feel like should be out there, there's probably someone else who agrees, right? And so that kind of can give you a little bit of a push to try things you might have considered, or as you say, that someone said, hey man, that's pretty good. You should share that. And at our convention, you'll be talking about this subject of storytelling. Now, I don't want you to give it all away, of course, but give us a little taste, a little preview of of the kinds of things you're going to be emphasizing for educators.
Yeah, awesome. Well, definitely. So, you know, as I mentioned, I love the piece of storytelling and the approach that I take to it. And I'll be sharing with one of my favorite tools, which is Adobe Spark, which is available for K-12 and beyond, and it's a free product. There's a paid version, but there's a free version, and the education, you know, that's one of the cool things about Adobe's made this available for education. There's a couple of little setups you have to do, and I'll share some of that information. That's kind of like the boring stuff about it, you know, the back end piece of it, but you know, the nitty gritty part of creative storytelling is, you know, I'll be sharing ideas that you can use in a classroom with yourself, but also that your students can do to share their stories. And so everything from like, hey, how can I create kind of like a comic book strip type thing, posters, flyers, you know, a lot of now is digital. So, you know, you can definitely share little animated graphics. Then I'll share some how to do that, and got a couple of have some artistic like photography type things that I think any student can do, and kind of share their everything to do to share their story. It could be a quote that they have, a saying that they have, or something that they've heard someone say that he's like, I want to create this little quote photo, and I'm going to be sharing how to do that. You know, I've been making a list of things, some things I've shared before, but in kind of some things I've updated. And so if you are on the fence of attending sessions or looking for something and you may be useful, definitely check my session out. You know, you'll have a ton of, I'm going to do my best to share a ton of ideas that you can take back and use in your class that same day or the next day within the same week. And also ways for you to share stories as well. I think, you know, I definitely sharing ways for students to do it, but I also love giving teachers opportunities, you know, because we, you know, we all adults, we have stories to share as well. So, you know, if you're on social media, even at your campus, different ways that to empower everyone to share stories. You're an administrator and thinking of ways that you can share your campus, your school's story. You know, this is another, definitely check it out too, because you can take these ideas and just tweak them a bit and hack them a little bit and like, oh, this I did this, but then I'm going to try this out, you know? And so those are kind of things I'll share without getting into the finer details of it, but just, you know, all different ideas that you can definitely take back in the classroom and use.
And if I'm an administrator, an educator, whomever, and I'm thinking we've spent some time now during the coronavirus pandemic, thinking about remote ways to learn, thinking about digital technology and how we use that to learn. But I'm also maybe thinking in a semester, in two semesters, in three semesters, we'll eventually be going back to traditional in-person learning, at least as kind of the central aspect of how we educate students. So I may be wondering, how or should I make an investment in upping my ability to tell stories using technology, to communicate using technology? What would you tell that person who's maybe wondering, should I invest the time and energy thinking about these things now?
Definitely, yes, invest the time. So, you know, we've these ideas that obviously they're virtually, you know, we do a lot of this on computers, on devices, tablets, you know, it lends itself to it, and because we're away from each other. But when you're in, you know, in physically in person, I think it just gives students another opportunity, another way that they can share their voice. You know, we traditionally, like, hey, we're gonna write it, we're back in class, okay, now we're gonna use paper again. Well, why? I'm not against paper. I use paper all the time for notes. I have post-its all over my desk. But, you know, if there's a, it's going back, are you going to go back to like, okay, well, let's go back to writing a book report on paper. Well, why not use a, you know, an EdTech tool, whether it's one from the session that you attend with me or some other one. These are just going to give you different ways. Like I would say more tools in your students' bag of tricks that they can pull from. It's like, well, you know, I think today I want to share this idea, but I'm going to do it via video. You know, or, you know, I think I'm going to make like a poster, maybe like a poster of a chapter in this book and maybe represent what's going on, or you know, I want to tell my story, a trip that I took, and I'll do it through a comic book kind of format. You know, I took pictures as we were traveling, so I'm going to add like from each little thing that we did and just add a little couple words to each picture just to kind of describe what's happening. And so definitely I think, you know, as time progresses and transition, you know, I still think there's going to be a portion that's going to be virtual always. I don't think we'll ever go 100% back, but you know, we will. But these ideas you can use virtually, face to face, just gives students other ways that they can share their voice and just, you know, like I said, bag of tricks they can pull from all these different ways. And like, this is how I'm going to share my story today.
And so what do you see when you, I mean, I know you have a passion for various things, I mean, videography and photography and other things. When you are working with teachers and working with students, are there ways that surprise you that they use this technology?
You know, it's been a while since I've connected with a classroom. So I think the last time I worked with, I was campus and I was working with, this is my previous district, students were doing some projects. I think one of the cool ways that they, I'm going to use an art class, for example. They had a showcase, I think, I can't think of the right term. So they had their artwork and they were going to showcase. It's kind of like an art show kind of thing. And so in Adobe Spark, there's a trio of apps. So Spark Post and Spark Page, where you can create web pages, and there's Spark Video. So, the teacher was kind of thinking, you know, how can we use this? And so with that class, what the students did is they took pictures of their artwork and they recorded either audio, like they narrated over the picture that they took, or maybe even a short little video, and to say, this piece right here is called Willows of the Moon. I just made that up. I have no idea what they called their art piece.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, that's what, now I got to do an art piece to match Willows of the Moon. And the reason I called it that was because at the time I was drawing, you know, so they can go through their process as they were making this piece of art and not just say it's called this and that and just come up. So, and what they did is they took that video and created, now this is not a Spark piece, but you know, anybody can do this, create QR code. So if the student was not there at the time next to that piece of art, you know, maybe they had four or five different pieces of art that were on display. Well, there was a QR code. And so anybody could have gone by and just taken their phone and scanned a QR code, and the video that they created in Adobe Spark pops up, and there they are listening. It's almost like a virtual, the student pops up or their art piece pops up, and they're kind of narrating what that art piece was about. You know, maybe the student was on their fifth piece of art, like down the hall talking to somebody. Well, someone else can come to another piece of art and actually interact, even though it's one way, but they can actually listen to the student and watch the video as they're describing their art piece. So, the student can have not been there that day. Maybe they were out or something, or at a sporting activity. Well, anybody can come and scan that QR code and watch that Spark video they created. So I thought that was a nice creative way to use the tool like Adobe Spark Video to kind of have a little narration of an art piece. So I thought that was a nice creative way.
Yeah, giving a student a chance to kind of talk through how they did something in a way that they're more comfortable with always seems useful. And it also kind of speaks to the ability of technology to make things, well, to record things, to make them less ephemeral. You know what I mean? It's, if you're sick that day at school, you missed the thing, you missed the art show, or you missed the event. But if you're able to access it or reflect on it again later, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is if a student is a little bit shy, you know, in front of someone, you know, coming up, and you have that awkwardness, like, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to ask. Well, they could always put that the video, because they're behind the scenes, and maybe they're not in the video, they're just narrating. So, you know, you'd be surprised at how much a student will share when they don't have to be in front of a camera per se, or in front of someone. So, like you said, just another way that a student can share their voice.
Obviously, thanks to you. And this would be the time for you to do any plugs. Tell folks if they want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, learn a little bit more about you, possibly before they show up at your session at TCEA, what should they do?
Awesome. Well, let me actually, I'll plug one of the other sessions I'll have too. So if you're interested in like creating totally wicked awesome videos, I'm going to run through a session on Adobe Rush. So you might want to check that out too. But you could also find me on social media at Claudio Zavala Jr. That's pretty much Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can also find my website at iamclaudius.com, like Claudius Caesar. There's a long story about that, but it's just one of my many nicknames that I have. So iamclaudius.com, and then you can find me on YouTube. You can actually search Claudio Zavala Jr. or just go youtube.com/iamclaudius, and I have a ton of videos there that are all free that you can check out. So I'd love to connect on social, and you can go find all my stuff there and before the session. So yeah, it'd be great.
Okay, folks, we have run out of time. We've got a lot of work to do to get this convention ready, and you probably want to start getting ready for convention as well. So I won't take up any more of your time, except to say that if you haven't registered for the event, don't worry. You'll have access to on-demand learning through March 5th. So if you want to get registered, you can still do it at convention.tcea.org. No homework, but we'll count that as extra credit, so go check that out. And of course, next week we will be back with more meetings at the EdTech Club to give you the inside scoop from convention. But until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.